This Rugby World Update is brought to you by First Cut, a leading South African distributor of capital equipment and consumables in partnership with Kaltenbach. First Cut is the exclusive South African supplier of Kaltenbach circular and band sawing machines, sectional steel and sheet metal processing systems, punching and shearing machines, and shot blast and painting systems. For metal processing solutions, visit www.firstcut.co.za. Dan Retief, good evening, Dan.
Yes, hi, Joffers. How are your nerves?
Us diehard Lions fans, I tell you, I can't wait for Saturday, Dan. You know, when do we go to the last Currie Cup final at Ellis Park? Was what, 2002?
Yeah.
And the Lions, I hope this is not a bad omen, but the Lions lost that final 31-7 to the Bulls.
Yeah, and in fact, what has sort of come out of all this, the discussion now that everybody's looking at a Lions-Sharks fan final, is that the Lions haven't won very many finals at Ellis Park. They haven't won a final at Ellis Park since 1950.
No way.
61 years ago, they won a final at Ellis Park when, funny enough, Henny Miller was their captain. So just an amazing record that they, you know, you'd think that Ellis Park, Coca-Cola Park, Hart Field, altitude would be their friend, you know, but... They've tended to go away and win their finals recently.
You're giving away your age.
No, I never saw Miller. Yeah. Which is a great pity because, you know, the older listeners would know that the Vintont is classed as one of the five greatest Springboks ever, you know. So I would love to have seen him play.
A sold-out Ellis Park, which is also a rarity these days. I mean, obviously, there's so many Sharks fans living in Joburg, no doubt a big contingent coming from Durban as well. It's just going to be a fantastic atmosphere and probably the right final as well for this Currie Cup.
Absolutely. And you know, the Coca-Cola Park, when it's full, it has magnificent atmosphere. The place heaves. And that's going to be wonderful. And I think what it's doing for rugby in the Lions region, you know, they were sort of down and out. People were talking about the Kings replacing them in Super Rugby, and certainly now, thanks to John Mitchell, you know, you have to give him all the credit. They've really been picked up, and best of all, they play really good rugby. You know, they're a joy to watch.
Now you talk about John Mitchell, and you look at the Sharks coach as well, John Plumtree, two New Zealand coaches. Says something.
Oh, it does, yeah, and New Zealand coaches all over the Rugby World Cup as well, you know.
Sure.
John Henry, Kerwin Deans, you know, John Henry, Graham Henry, you know. So I think what it goes to is that New Zealand, obviously, it is their number one game. There's no competition for it being their number one game, and they literally spend hours and invest all their passion and interest in the game. But the one thing that does set New Zealand coaches aside is that they try to play expansive rugby. They're always pushing the envelope to play a better, faster type of rugby. And I think that is why they've come to the fore, because the laws have recently been adapted to suit that kind of game. Although, that said, the referees completely changed the way they blew the Rugby World Cup, which is a great pity, you know, because going into the Rugby World Cup, one thought a side like Australia, who can play really quickly and excitedly. But to me, that is why I think the New Zealand coaches are right to the fore, because they invest so much time, so much cerebral energy on what to put into a rugby team to make it better, to win the chess game, which is played at pace.
I'll come back to Graham Henry in a moment. I just want to go back to the Currie Cup final. Currie Cup, I mean, this season, Sharks and Lions, it's 1-1. The Lions had a good win at Coca-Cola Park. Then they got that hiding against the Sharks when there was nothing on it for the Lions. So this is the decider. I mean, what's going to be the key this weekend?
Well, you know, when you have a look at it, you almost say the Lions haven't got a chance. If you line the teams up against each other, you say, well, the Lions haven't got a hope in hell, because you look at the Lions, they've got two Springboks in their starting 15 and one on the bench. The Sharks have 12 Springboks in their starting 15, a French international, and three on the bench. So if you go take Springboks as a measure, you know, you would think that it's no contest, other than the fact that the Lions have played as a team. They don't have to alter their pattern. They know what they're doing. They're very confident in what they're doing. And there is the question of whether the Springboks, especially the current Springboks, are up for this game, you know. So I think what it's going to be is the one team trying to play their pattern, trying to impose their teamwork, who are full of joy, and then the Sharks, who are full of individual talent. So to see whether the Sharks can harness that individual talent into a team effort against a team that plays fast, that plays with adventure, and is always looking to score tries. So, I think the previous two games are actually irrelevant. Although the one that meant more was the first one that the Lions won at Ellis Park. I think that proved to them that they can do it. The next one, I think, was a giveaway. They'd already topped the log. It means nothing. So, to me, I must say, I have to be honest here, even with that overwhelming weight of Springboks, I am edging towards the Lions. I think they are going to put the best game on the park. They're going to have the most determination. That old sporting cliche, who wants it more? I think we're going to see that the Lions want it more.
I like the way you're thinking.
Yes. Great. But I live in Joburg.
No, exactly. I think it'll just be fantastic, especially when you look at what the Union's gone through this year as well.
Oh, yeah. They've had it's been a tough time. They've had partners join them, and that deal went sour, and it looked like they were in a mess. And all credit to John Mitchell to take his team, his squad of players, his young players, to take them away from all of that, there was only Vikas van Heerden as a senior Springbok, because CJ van der Linde wasn't here yet, Butch James wasn't part of it for much of the time. So whether win or lose, it's an enormous feat by John Mitchell to have taken the team all the way to a Currie Cup final, and to have them in a situation where I think the betting's going to be pretty 50-50.
Coming back now to Graham Henry, I mean, all the New Zealand media speculation is that he will stand down now, having finally won this World Cup. Who would be the ample? I see that they said maybe no Warren Gatland, no Robbie Deans. So it looks like, what is it, Steve Hansen, the assistant, would be probably the favourite then?
Yeah, and Steve Hansen is the man who's put his hand up, very clearly said he wants the job. And I think he's going to have quite a strong card to play, because New Zealand, having retained Graham Henry and kept keeping the continuity, ended up winning the Rugby World Cup, whereas everybody said that Graham Henry, having gone out in the quarterfinals in 07, should have been ditched. Other than New Zealand, they might look at Hansen and say, we need new blood. We need to take this further. We need an injection of something else, And one of the names that has been mentioned there is Todd Blackadder, who's taken over the Crusaders from Robbie Deans. I would think that Robbie Deans would have been the heir apparent if he hadn't gone to Australia, but now he's signed up with Australia, and I think Australia's record now will probably count against him. So I wouldn't be surprised if somebody like Todd Blackadder doesn't come into the frame on the basis of that, maybe we need new thinking.
What do you make of all the South African media speculation about Rassie and Alistair could see don't want the Bok job?
Yes, I've noticed that. It's almost everybody that's been in line for the job has been mentioned, and then one by one they've all said they don't really want the job. I notice they're not being very adamant about not wanting the job. Nobody has, other than Mallett, has categorically said, I don't want this job, I have no interest in this job, and I'm not going to do this job. The others have sort of couched it in sort of quite defensive terms. And I think it's one of those things, they've got to wait to see the criteria, the points of reference. They've got to look at the advertisement and decide whether they're going to throw their hat in the ring, And I don't blame them for that, because you don't know what SA Rugby is going to come up with. Funny enough, there is some speculation that SA Rugby are being a bit lax and a bit slow about doing this, but it's 4 years away, and it is such an important appointment. That SA Rugby really needs to get it right this time, And I must say, I'm edging Graham towards a situation where we can bring in a really top foreign coach, but with a South African to maybe be called the head coach and the other coach to be the coach. So the South African front man to handle the press, to handle the press conferences, to handle all that stuff that happens between the union and the team, so that the coach can get on with coaching. And then it would really be quite nice to see a man like John Mitchell, to see what he could do with the talent at our disposal. And the other one, of course, that we mustn't count out is Eddie Jones, who's been talked about as Japan's next coach. But I know for a fact that Eddie Jones would love to get his hands on the talent available in South Africa.
Yeah, I'm sure you would. No question about that. Right, I want to talk to you about this video that's been going viral. Stephen Donald's penalty in the World Cup final. What's the story? Did it miss?
Well, it's amazing. I was working for the SABC with Henny LaRue and Peter Hendricks, and Donald kicked the kick, and when it passed the post, we all said it's missed. We shouted out, "It's missed." And then the flags went up, you know. Now, we were a bit puzzled, but, you know, the touch judge stands right under that post, you know. Anyway, and then I was a bit doubtful about it because, my first reaction was, "It missed." And then people on my Twitter account started coming back to me, and one bloke said, "You know, have a look." And now we've got a clip, and I tell you what, the clip shows it missed. To me, the ball clearly disappears behind the right and upright before it appears again, and that says it missed.
No,
I
come
mean,
on.
Can you? No, Joffers, it's on my tweet. Have a look at Dan Retief. It is. I think it missed. I mean, isn't that incredible that the Rugby World Cup has been won by a kick that didn't go over?
Oh, my word.
And look, the debate's going to be there, and I'd love to have people with good equipment sort of enhance it and try and pull it right up. But what I've looked at the YouTube clip, and it's taken from a French clip, and they play it over and over, and they try and blow it up to a certain extent. But what you look for is whether the ball stays in front of the post. Now, it is a white ball and a white post, but it looks as though it goes on the right-hand side of that upright, I'm telling you. And talking about going viral, I think it's going to fly from now on. Everybody has to go and have a look.
Wow. Well, go send Dan a tweet at Dan Retief. And Danny, oh, I can't believe it.
No,
but
can you imagine?
No, exactly.
And then the sad thing that came out was Orion Rougerie having eye-gouged Richie McCaw, you know, and the eye-gouge was quite clear on the clips that were shown there, you know, so it's quite sad that everybody thought that Craig Joubert had done a fantastic game, that we got the right winner, that the French were most dignified in defeat, and now all this is starting to happen. The age of technology.
100%. Well, Danny, hopefully we're going to be chatting to you on a Monday when after the Lions have lifted the Currie Cup.
Yes, and hopefully you'll be in a fair state, because if the Lions win, I suspect a few cold ones
watch
might
out.
Find their way down your throat.
Yeah, you might have to host the show on Monday.
It was a pleasure for you.
Dan Retief, our Sports Fire Rugby analyst. Dan, thanks very much.
It's a great pleasure.
This Rugby World Update was brought to you by First Cut, a leading South African distributor of capital equipment and consumables in partnership with Kaltenbach. First Cut is the exclusive South African supplier of Kaltenbach circular and band sawing machines, sectional steel and sheet metal processing systems, punching and shearing machines, shot blast and painting systems. For metal processing solutions, visit www.firstcut.co.za.